And here we go for a Monday, people. Start the show.
Better wake up, sleepy head, get your fat butt out of bed. There's a man who got up at 4 a.m.
It's actually 8 a.m.
Just to play you Zeppelin and
Pearl. I'll be playing neither.
Slam the door till they can't get on the road now. Central Illinois is only where to get down. It's nasty, it's dirty, but it's funny, cause it's the Ramon Lionel's morning disaster. If there is Rudy's crew, but it doesn't matter, cause he's the morning master. Rock and roll and laughter.
Where's Dirty Shores? And he's got the squirts.
Central Illinois, the only way to get down.
My goodness, happy Monday, people. Happy Monday. That is the old morning disaster theme, which, by the way, was done by the intelligent and very gracious Kevin Wasmer, who while being a smartass, I told him, oh, yeah, you want to impress me, rhyme the word purple. And I'll be damned. That's how that horrible rumor about Jimmy and the Gerbils got started. All because of Kevin Wasmer finding a way to actually rhyme the word purple in a song. All right, phone number is 814-0332. That's 814-0332. Can everybody hear me? Are we okay? Are we live? It's a Monday, of course. Monday means we start a little later because, well, my daughter has late starts on Monday. It's the new thing they're doing, and they've been doing it here for, I think it's like second or third year. I think in the third year they've done it for Chatham, but the high school's done it for a while. And what it is on Mondays for the high school kids, they go in later. You know, like they start them a half hour later, which I don't know. The kids like it because they get to sleep in a little bit on Mondays. Teachers like it because they get to sleep in a little bit on Mondays. I just think that the parents hate it because it throws everybody's schedule off. Like, my wife has to be at work by 8 o'clock, okay? My daughter has to be at school by 8 o'clock. So it's very easy for my wife and daughter to just leave at the same time. My wife drops her off on the way to work, you know? She goes by the school anyway, so she's like, okay, get out, and my daughter just gets out of the car, and we're good to go. Well, on Mondays, you know, my wife has to start work at 8 o'clock, you know, just like they do every day at work. And my daughter doesn't have to start school till 8:30, so that means I have to be the one to take her. God forbid she takes the bus, but here's the deal. The buses run at the same time because these freaking bus companies, I guess they can't figure out how to separate, but oh well. And my daughter is like, well, Dad, it's my day to sleep. Because I say, well, take the bus. She goes, taking the bus sucks. She says, she goes, waking up for the bus, you actually have to wake up earlier than I would if Mom takes me. Of which I reply, you know, which makes a lot of sense, by the way. I go, well, then, rather than just being grateful for Monday morning where you get to wake up late, now you can be grateful for Tuesday through Friday morning where you get to wake up late, and Monday will be your early day. That did not fly that well with my daughter, but I suggested it, and then she begged and pleaded, please, 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 and I said, all right, I'll take you on Mondays, you know. And she's like, oh, good. And she goes, by the way, I wouldn't wake up early for the bus. I'd just ride with Mom and go into school early. Of course, this was after I had made the promise to take her on Mondays. So late school start on Mondays means that the show doesn't start till like, you know, 8:40-ish, 8:45. And unless, of course, I got good music going, which I was playing some good music before the show today, so I was getting into it. Singing along, the wrong lyrics, of course. Also joining me on today's show, the one and only Nikki.
Good morning.
Good morning, Nikki. How are you? Did you have your morning constitution already? What a weekend. What'd you do this weekend? Did you do anything good?
Did I do anything good?
Yeah.
No.
No, nothing?
No.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I had to go to Chicago. I get a call on Friday from my mom, right? She calls me and says, your grandmother's not doing well. Now, I was told my grandmother was under the weather and that she had had, like, early stage cancer, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But no one had bothered to tell me how bad it was, you know? Like, I heard it was some type of early stage, or, you know, like I guess it's not early, but like stage 4 cancer. And I was told, this is by my mother, she goes, well, they said that she has 6 months, okay? And my mom goes, well, I think she's even going to make Christmas. So life has been crazy, you know, for the last couple months, as you know.
Uh-huh.
With everything going on, so I was making plans to go up. I just wanted to see my grandma, you know, as she was fighting this. And so we were making plans to go up this weekend. Well, my mom calls me Friday and says, well, grandma got sick, or grandma's doing, she's not doing well. And I said, oh, my God, well, how bad is it? How bad is she? Well, she's just, when you come up, she's probably not going to be really coherent. And I'm like, oh, I said, is this bad? I said, should we come up now or do we come up tonight? What do we do? Because we were thinking maybe we would come up on Friday night and stay over at Steve's, you know, and then go on over and see her Friday night and early Saturday morning, you know. And my mom's like, no, my mom said she'll get through it. And my mom was still convinced somehow she was going to make it to Christmas, you know.
Yeah.
But she's like, she's just under the weather. And I'm like, what, you know, and she goes, I go, what do we do? She goes, no, just regular time tomorrow. Okay. So, you know, we're, you know, usual Friday night, we do our stuff, you know what I mean? And then I'm sleeping Saturday morning. I set my alarm for Saturday morning, which I never do. So I could get up early, take a shower and then head up to Chicago. Right. While I'm in the shower, my phone rings. Well, I can't get it. I'm in the shower. So my phone rings several times, you know. And finally, my wife's phone rings. And she's, you know, she woke up early and started picking up everything around the house to get it ready. Because she knew we were going to be leaving. So she was like, I want to, you know, clean up the house as much as I can. Because, you know, my wife, and on the weekends I clean and blah, blah, blah. You know how women are.
Yeah.
And so her phone rings and she answers it. And my mother tells her that my grandmother passed away.
Oh, my.
And I was like, she passed away? I thought she was going to be okay and make it to Christmas. You know, it's like all these things. But she passed away Saturday morning.
Wow.
Like, my mother was staying with her and everything. And she said Saturday morning she gave, my grandma was in a lot of pain, you know, she was in a lot of pain. So she gave her, she gave her her usual dosage of medicine. And finally my grandma just passed away. And I told my mother, I'm like, what? You were literally just telling me she had till Christmas. Oh, well, she got really sick. I said, within 24 hours she got sick? So it became obviously my mother was in some type of denial. So I'm not going to, I'm certainly not going to, you know, be mad at my mother because she was just in denial, you know. But I wish that I would have, I wish I would have been smart enough to figure this out myself, you know what I mean, and go up weeks ago, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I had no idea how bad it was.
Yeah.
And so we all, we had to go up, you know, we were scheduled to go up Saturday anyway, so we went up and I don't know how they did it, okay? But my grandmother passed away at like 9:15 in the morning. And my mother or cousin or uncle, somebody was able to talk the coroner into waiting to pick up her body and later in the afternoon, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they did it, but it turned out to be great for us. As we were pulling up, because we caught rain, we caught traffic, whatever we could catch, we caught it. It was the worst. You know, you're feeling anxious because you want to go up there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I wanted to at least see my grandmother. I wanted to see my grandmother's. And some people might find this weird, but I don't.
No.
I wanted to see my grandmother's body at least. See my grandmother before they took her away, you know. Because my grandmother wanted to be cremated and everything. So I got, you know, every bit of traffic we would get, I would start getting, you know, just real anxious to get there because I'm like, oh my God, they're going to take her away and I'm not going to get a chance to see her. And there was rain. Well, first there was construction. I mean, the construction's out of control, by the way.
Oh yeah.
On this 55. Good Lord. Enough with this construction. Damn it. So they had, we finally got through that. Then it started raining. That slowed everybody down, you know. It was just, you name it. It was delaying us. So finally we get there. And as we get there, we actually see the people with the coroner came by and signed the certificate or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the funeral home has to come take the body, you know. So right. as we're getting there, the funeral home is there. We see them pulling up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're running into the building to try to get on the elevator before the funeral home people. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then get to my grandmother's floor and get in before the funeral people do. So we're having like a race. You know, my family versus the funeral home, you know.
Yeah.
So we get in there and we get into my grandmother's place. She lives in a condo in West Chicago. And we get in there and make it over there before they take her body. Like, I got inside the bedroom with my cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a chance to see my grandmother before they, you know, before they took her away. But, I mean, we were scrambling. We were scrambling mm-hmm. to get in there, so. But, yeah, I did get a chance to, you know, say goodbye and everything. And then afterwards we, you know how it is, after someone passes away, there's shock and awe and, you know, discussions and all that stuff. So we didn't get home until very, very late Saturday night, like Sunday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning.
Right.
And they also scheduled the funeral for next weekend. You know, next Sunday. So I'm just warning people now, we might not have a show on Monday. I'm warning you in advance now, everyone. Monday, we'll probably not have a show because the funeral is Sunday night, which means I'll have to be up driving till very, very late. Because I imagine by the time it's done, by the time it's finished, we will have to drive home. Because there's no way. Or, you know, I'd like to stay the night, but my wife works and my daughter's got school on Monday. So I imagine my wife will try to get a delayed start at work the next day. And so by the time we leave, it'll be, you know, almost midnight. And driving to Springfield, you know, we won't get home till very, very early in the morning Saturday. So I'm just warning people now. So that was my weekend. It was good to see family, though. It was good to see all my family on Saturday. Anyway. Yeah, so that was my weekend. So it was depressing, you know.
Yeah.
Nikki has no.
What?
People are. This is what people are noticing. Oh my God, how traumatic has Nikki's life been that she can't even comment on this? What?
What do you mean?
I cannot hear you, Nikki.
What do you mean?
I have no idea what she's saying.
I said, what do you mean?
Oh, there you are. Okay. Well, I hear you trailing off. You were getting more muddy and muddy and muddy as you speak.
Oh, I'm using my phone.
Well, it sounded like you were falling asleep on your phone or something.
No.
Usually your phone sounds super clear. It just started going muffle,
I've
muffle.
I've been commenting on it.
Yeah, I couldn't hear anything.
Oh.
You were just, as you were talking, it was getting more muffled. I'm like, oh my God, my story of my grandmother's death is putting Nikki to sleep.
No, it's not.
It sounded like you were falling asleep.
Well, sorry to disappoint you.
You're what?
I said sorry to disappoint you.
No. No, I would be disappointed if you were falling asleep. I'm not disappointed that you didn't. So you didn't do anything this weekend? Nothing fun? Nothing interesting?
No.
You didn't go swimming in your...
It's too cold.
Mm. Hey, let me ask you. Did you ever go to the fair?
Nope.
Me neither. At no point did I go to the fair. And you know what? I didn't miss any of it. I missed nothing. Like, some people are so happy and anxious and excited to go to the fair and everything. I didn't even drive near the fair, and I feel great about it.
I did put in a request for corn dog, and I was laughed at.
Oh, you asked a friend of yours to bring you a corn dog?
Yeah. I said, I don't care if they're cold.
Yeah.
Bring me two corn dogs.
So you said, hey, bring me a corn dog. Why wouldn't they do it?
All of a sudden, they were out of money.
Oh, you're one of these people. Yeah, I know the type.
Yeah.
But if it was the other way around, you definitely would have brought them a corn dog.
I would have definitely brought them a corn dog.
Yeah. I didn't go at all. I didn't miss it. And I was asked, they're like, are you going to ask for a... Are you going to ask for media passes for your internet thing? By the way, I hate when people call it my internet thing. Just call it my show or
internet
something.
Internet thing. You know?
Just call it the show or just, you know, something like that. But they go, are you going to ask for media passes for your internet thing? And I say, no, I'm good. Like, no, I'm going to go, well, even if you're not going to use them, you should ask because you don't want to get off their radar. Like, next year you'll ask and they'll be like, no, we don't know who you are. And I'm like, no, I'm good. You know.
Lord.
And people were shocked by it. They're like, what, you're not going to go? And I'm like, no, I'm good. I, you know.
Yeah.
I don't need to go. And I was amazed by how many people were shocked by my saying that. But no, yeah. I mean, I've gone to the fair. This is, you know, I have been going to the fair consistently since, what, 19, well, I started working the fair in 1987, all right?
Mm-hmm.
1987, when I was working at WYMG, when I was a kid, I had to go do a show live from the fair, you know, several times. And that was 87, then I did it again in 88, you know. And then thankfully I left. And then when I was syndicated, you know, I had to go, I left town and got to go do other things. Then when I came back from Texas and was living in Peoria and we syndicated, I had to do the show live. And when did I do it? Like Stone Temple Pilots or somebody played in 94. And then, of course, 95, I was gone. And then the disaster did the live, you know, we would do the morning disaster live afternoon show at the fair on the two Saturdays, you know. So we would do a live show on the Saturdays of the fair at the Budweiser tent. I think the first year was at the Miller tent, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, so I was there from, you know, all of those years. And then I got passes for when I started Disaster Radio. We got passes, and I was there in, you know, 2006, 2007. And then I was with CBS in 2008. And let's see, I was there again in 2009 and 10 with the internet stuff. And then with WMAY, I was there in 11 and 12. And with TAX, I was there 13, 14, and 15. And then finally this year, I'm like, no, I don't want to go. I mean, I've been going to the fair consistently since 96, but also, you know, several years before that. So I was,
right.
I was like, no, I don't need to go to the fair. What gets me is people are shocked. They're like, oh, you don't want to go to the fair? I'm like, fuck no, I don't want to go to the fair. I'm amazed you want to go to the fair.
Unless they give me a golf cart, I don't want to go.
Yeah, last year I've had golf carts the last few years, though.
Yeah.
I do have people that will give me rides in golf carts. But, you know, it's just, I started asking myself, I'm like, do I really want to go? And I'm like, what's there? And for me, it's just boring, you know. I have no interest in seeing animal balls, you know. Like the livestock.
Yeah.
None of them are neutered. They all have like gigantic balls. It makes me feel inadequate as a man, you know.
Why do you look?
You know, it's like, good Lord. What do you mean, why do I look? You can't miss them. Have you ever looked at those animals? My God, what a set of balls.
I don't go looking at their balls.
You can't miss them. A set of balls on those animals is extraordinary.
I don't ever remember looking at their balls.
Oh, my God, you can't miss. You know, last year we sent Marvin there.
I know. I remember.
And, you know, I got the morning disaster passes last year. And Marvin went out there and, you know, we had him washing he was washing sheep or something. You know what I mean? He was helping out. And even in those pictures, there were giant balls. You know what I mean? I mean, those things were gigantic. So, yeah, I didn't miss seeing animal testicles, I'll tell you that. And then I didn't miss, I don't know, I didn't even miss the food, to be honest with you. I just wasn't that interested.
I just wanted the corn dogs.
Yeah, but you know what? Seriousness, Vos will be open this week. You don't have to pay an entrance fee to go get one.
Oh?
That you don't like Vos corn dogs and stuff?
Yeah.
They're open, you know, they were open before the fair, and they'll be open probably for the next couple weeks. Just drive on through and get some. Even when the fair's not open, you could drive over there and get one.
Yeah.
Drive over today. Some people haven't left yet. They'll be leaving today. There'll be some stands open. There'll be some stands open so people can eat while they're leaving.
Oh, Yeah.
That's a secret of the fair that a lot of people don't know. Just like before, like the few days before the fair opens, there's a bunch of places already in town and they're already selling stuff. So people could eat while they're setting up all their booths and stuff. So if you just want the, this is a tip for people. If you just want the food, next year, show up about 2 days before the fair starts or a day before the fair starts, and they've already got food booths open. They've got food booths open. Because people are, you know, the people who are setting up need to eat. So they'll go by, and they, sometimes it's even cheaper. Because every year that I've gone to get my media pass, I get it somewhere within the week leading up to the fair. And I go get my media, I get my media pass, and I may or may not stumble upon keys to a golf cart that I'm not supposed to have. May or may not. I'm not admitting anything. And you just go around and grab some fair food. And none's the wiser. And a lot of times people just give you something for free.
Right.
Because I put the media pass on as soon as I get it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh, what station are you on? I go, well, you know, I'm going to be doing this. And I'll be like, I used to just say stuff. I think Marvin does this line still. I don't know if he went this year. I haven't talked to him. But it'd be like, oh, you know, I'm just, I'm here to critique a lot of the stuff at the fair. Oh, well, here, have this corn dog for free. Or here, allow us to have, here, go ahead and sample this product. I mean, I got crepes and corn dogs and mini donuts and all kinds of stuff. Just by having my media pass and, you know, looking somewhat official after I get the media pass. You know, you walk out, you have the pass.
Right.
And I've done it like 2 days or a day before the fair, and they're willing to just give it to you. If you like it, make sure to talk about it. I'm like, okay, whatever.
I had the media pass 1 year, and that was it. I don't even think I went.
Yeah. I'll say, if you really wanted one next year, I'll order some up for us, but we're allowed to have so many. We can get some for us. Maybe I'll have a couple of listeners that will make critics that'll talk about the fair every day, and, you know, we can get the pass for them or something, but this year, I just wasn't into it. Because I thought this is the first year I'm not going to have to work at the fair. Because that's what kills you.
Yeah.
Is the thought of you know, you have to be there.
Right.
Like, I've never just wanted to be there. I've always had to have been there. So it was nice to have, you know, no reason to be there. And I took full advantage of it. And I had people say, like, oh, well, man, don't you want to go see Pat Benatar? And I'm like, no. Why the hell?
I wanted to see Kiss and ZZ Top.
Yeah. I'm like, no, why would I want to go see her? Well, don't you want to go see Kiss? No. I have no interest.
Whoa!
I just didn't. Yeah, I don't want to see him. And then I was even like, don't you want to go see ZZ Top? And Three Doors Down? I'm like, no, have no interest. Although I heard the Kiss show was great. I heard the ZZ Top show was great.
Right.
You know, heard they were fantastic. And I'm glad that the fans of these bands got a chance to see them. I'm really happy for them. We did anger some Kiss fans though with our with my comments. Oh, forgive me. You know, last week I was reading about the concert, okay? And I talked about how they did the national anthem and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the presentations with all the politicians right before the last song.
Yeah.
Now, at no point did I insult the band.
Right.
I didn't insult the band. I did not insult the music.
Uh-huh.
All I said, if you remember... And this is a lot. When did I do it? Last Thursday or Wednesday? I think it was Wednesday. And basically, all I said was that I think it's very odd that they did this stuff right before the final encore, you know?
Yeah, it was very breaking up the
flow
of things.
Because I said it would be like I'm having sex and I'm just about to complete the act. And someone walks in and goes, whoa, 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 hold on, Ray. You've got to stop. Let's get the comptroller up here to say a few words. That's like the climax of the show. It was, you know, it was just about, from what I talked to people who were there, and they were like, oh, God, they were so great, and they were this, and they were that, and I'm like, that's awesome. And then it's like, we hear they do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
And the national, I could actually understand the national anthem being played, but they did the Pledge of Allegiance and brought up a bunch of, you know, lawmakers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is that? Right before they did Rock and Roll All Night.
Right.
I mean, literally, that's like someone into, like, you're just about to have a shared orgasm, you know, with a beautiful woman, just about to have a shared orgasm. And all of a sudden, Rounders people break in. Please hold on a second. We have to say a few words. By the time they get done and you get back to it, you know, it's just not as special as what it was going to be, is what I was saying.
Right.
And so I had some Kiss fans send me FU emails, you know.
Oh, no.
Who do you think you are, FU Lytle? You know, I'm glad you're not on the air. I'm like, well, listen, dickhead, obviously you're listening to me to know I said it. So if you're so glad I'm not on the air, why are you listening to the internet show? But they were, and I'm like, I wasn't going to argue with them. But I'm thinking to myself, like, at no point did I insult the band Kiss.
No.
I like Kiss. And I like Kiss's music.
And it's wonderful musicians.
I just thought it was very odd that they brought a bunch of politicians up and did the national, or the Star Spangled, or the national, what is it? The Pledge of Allegiance, excuse me.
Yeah.
And did the Pledge of Allegiance right before the finale. I thought it was odd. I don't even know whose decision that was. It might not have been Kiss's decision.
Right.
I mean, for all I know, these asshole politicians just went up and interrupted them.
Yeah.
And I thought it was cool. Like
the Illinois State Fair, we're going to do this.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was cool that Mayor Langfelder gave them the key to the city and stuff like that. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, like I said, I wasn't there, but from what I understand, the comptroller went up and was praising Governor Rauner. And people were booing and stuff. And I'm like, why would you do that right before the final song? Because the way Kiss works is, I'm sure they have they put together a set list and they're like, oh, this rocks and it goes into this and it goes into this and it goes into this. Like, you know, like this all goes together. And like, you know, it's like sex. You're, you know, Detroit Rock City and you're like, oh, yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? And Love Gun and you're pumping harder. Love Gun. Christine 16, oh my God, oh my God, I got to start thinking about baseball, this is going to happen too early. And, you know, like there's a whole thing going on, you know. Maybe they do I Was Made for Loving You or something. You kind of, all right, I'm going to take it down a notch. I'm going to take it down a notch. Give my woman a chance to breathe. You know, whatever it is, whatever the songs are, you know. And then you're hitting that crescendo point, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, here we go. We're like, you know. Psycho Circus, Shout It Out Loud. Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah, Shout Out Loud. Then all of a sudden, Rock and Roll All Night. But they get up to that. You know, you're just about to hit that crescendo point, and then it's like, now, ladies and gentlemen, the comptroller of the state of Illinois. You're like, what?
What? Here comes your parents.
Good Lord. Yeah, here's your parents coming in. Here's your girlfriend's parents coming in right before you're about to orgasm. You know, you're 18 years old in your girlfriend's parents' bedroom, and you have been giving it to her good. She's doggy, and you're hitting her. You're hitting it so hard, like you're knocking her back out. You know what I mean? And then you flip her over on her back. All right. And you're doing that. You're hitting her so hard. You're doing that thing where, like, your back is arching with every thrust, you know. You're going in, you know, you're going in balls deep, as they say. And your 18-year-old girlfriend's going crazy, loving it, screaming, oh, God, oh, God, oh, like she's loving it, you know, the best she's ever had it. and you're going to town, and you're going to town, and you are you are just about to, you know, she's about to peak, and what you're going to do is you're going to pull it out and, you know, paint a Picasso on her stomach, you know, and just as you're about to, the door opens, and her mom and dad are like, oh, we're home for, oh, my God, you know, how horrible would that be? That is what it's like when
you recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, that's what it's like when you're just about to orgasm at a Kiss concert because it's so good. You're just about to orgasm, and Leslie Munger, the comptroller, walks in and forces you to do the Pledge of Allegiance. I mean, don't you dare come. You have to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, God. You know, it sounds like the screenplay for the worst porn movie ever made. So that's what I was saying. So the people that were mad at me, you know, if you lied, you know, those people that are mad at me.
Oh, wow.
I want you to go back and listen to the show. And I dare you to find any proof of me saying anything bad about Kiss, because I didn't.
Right.
I like Kiss.
Maybe their hearing was a little bit off from the concert.
No, I think it's just one of those bands that people are so protective, and you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they're just so, I don't know. They just take ownership of the band. They're so protective of it. Like, you can't say anything bad about them because people freak out, you know. Like, God forbid somebody say Kiss is washed up. They need to just go away. You've got the Kiss supporters out there that are like, what? How dare you? I will cut your tongue out, sir. You know, they're very overprotective of this band. Mm-hmm. But I certainly didn't say anything like that because in my mind, like, I don't even make fun of them for their countless final tours. You know, I'm saying fine, play until you can't.
Right.
I mean, the guys are in their 60s. They still look amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I saw, what's his name, Paul Stanley. The son bitch is in his 60s. He's still playing shirtless. He still looks good. You know? And I say, do it as long as you can. Hell, if you look good and you're having fun, keep doing it. So I'm not one of those people. It's just for whatever reason, some people, they're very oversensitive about the band Kiss. They're very sensitive about it, and they feel protective. So be it. But I dare anyone to listen to my comments from Wednesday's show. Wednesday, whatever show it was, Tuesday or Wednesday.
It'll be Thursday.
Was it Thursday's show?
It would have been. I think they played on Wednesday night.
Yeah, it was the day. Maybe it was Thursday. Whatever show it was, I had a bunch of people complaining because they said I was insulting Kiss. And I'm like, I dare you to listen again and show me proof of me insulting Kiss, because I didn't. At no point did I insult Kiss. All I suggested, you know, all I suggested is that that it was odd that they decided that all the politicians came out and they did the Pledge of Allegiance right before the finale. That's what I said.
It was very odd.
Yeah, it just seems very strange, you know. It seems odd. That's all I said. At no point did I insult Kiss. And I even said time and time again that I did not pay, or I didn't buy tickets and go see this happen. You know what I mean? I didn't, like, witness this. I'm just saying, from what I heard, it was very strange that they did this. And some people, their panties, which I'm sure they wear, got all in a bunch, you know. Their panties were disturbed. Ray Lytle said something. Ray Lytle said Kiss is washed up. No, never had ever said Kiss is washed. It never happened. Ray Lytle said Kiss sucked. Well, certainly not. I never said that. Ray Lytle was insulting Kiss. Once again, wrong. Go back and listen to it and show me proof. All right. Show me proof where I insulted Kiss. And I'll call you a liar. Because I didn't do it. Just didn't do it. And like I said, I heard ZZ Top was good. And ZZ Top was what? Was it yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah. I heard ZZ Top was pretty good. Of which I'm sure was nice, but, you know, didn't go see it.
Yep.
I mean, I could have gotten free tickets to concerts and I would not have gone.
I would have. I
just didn't feel like going. Not me.
You could have given them to me.
No. Just wouldn't have gone. Nope. That's not to insult the bands or anything. I'm just you know, I wasn't in the mood to go to the fair this year. And even my wife was suggesting, you know, we never got a chance to go out and get fair food. And I'm like, that's all right. I don't care. I'm like, go get some. You know, I'm trying to watch my weight. Eating fair food's not going to help me. Because the problem is you can't just eat one thing, you know.
Right.
You got to go to the fair and you can't just have, like, donuts. You got to have donuts and corn dogs, plural.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so many things, it's like, oh, forget it.
I got to have the corn dogs and the donuts.
Yeah, like my diet's going to go to hell. And I got to have the lemon thing, you know.
And those curl fries.
Yeah, and the elephant ears.
And the elephant ear. Yeah.
It's like just too much. Forget it. You know, and just forget it. I don't, you know. And I tell myself, you know what? I don't even like elephant ears. They're always disappointing. It's like the outside that's really crispy is good, then it gets soggy, and it's like, nope, I don't even want it. Don't need it.
It's better than funnel cakes.
Yeah. Yeah, the funnel cakes. That's what funnel cakes, donut ears, all that stuff. Ugh. Glad I didn't go. Happy I didn't go.
Lemon orange makeup.
Yeah. Once again, glad I didn't get one.
Yummy, yummy, yummy.
And then there's, like, the fair hero, like the, you know, like, there's people in life that are, I really don't want to offend anyone here, but I'm going to say it. There are people in life who are just, like, you know, just people that you wouldn't talk to, you know, for any reason. But somehow they get to the fair and they're just, like, fair cool. There are people that are fair cool, you know. Like, there's something about them and the fair that together that makes them cool. But if you saw them outside of the fair, you would think, oh, God, look at this guy. I don't know. Just said no desire to go. Yeah. Your phone's getting bad again.
Why?
I don't know.
There
you go. Now it's back. I don't know. It sounds like your chin or something is going over the phone.
It's like about 6 inches from my face.
I don't know what's going on. Have no idea. Now it sounds fine.
It's been 6 inches from my face.
Well, every once in a while, it clicks into some kind of muff. It goes. It sounds like it's in your muff. It's muffle mode.
Ugh.
You know, I'll tell you.
Let's do the weather.
I will say something. Is congratulations to Donald Trump. Who actually?
What?
Well, he actually went a couple days without. He went a couple days without, you know, without doing anything too embarrassing.
Give him some time. He's just to come up with something.
Yeah, because yesterday he started fighting back. I don't get the guy. Okay, like he was. You know, he just kept yapping and yapping and yapping, and his poll numbers were going down. Finally, he got these new people running his campaign. And by the way, you can tell, as soon as the new people started running his campaign, he was like, he stopped tweeting. He stopped, you know, there were things that he wasn't doing. Like, somebody got to him and said, stop. and he listened to him, right?
And right.
For like 2 or 3 days. And in that short amount of time, his poll numbers started going back up. You know what I mean?
Huh.
Like they started going back up. And then yesterday he starts tweeting again.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. It's like you don't want to, and you could tell people, you know, people want to vote for him. Because the people that like him really like him, you know. But they start feeling, you know, like they really like him, but they don't. And let's face it, the real reason they want to like him is like for the worst reasons ever, you know. Because they're really they're xenophobic, you know.
That's what he thinks.
Yeah, he just doesn't, you know, they don't like foreigners.
Right.
Or they're overly afraid of Muslims or whatever, you know. So the reasons they like him are not the reasons that people are proud about, you know.
Right.
So they want to like him. But then he says something that's so outrageous, and they're like, oh, my God, I just can't tell anybody I like this guy because, you know, people will destroy me.
Yeah.
You know. And so he, you know, so when he stops talking, it, like, gives people are like, oh, thank God, you know, I can actually vote for this guy, not have everybody think less of me. When he goes a couple days without saying something horrible. But he can't help himself. I mean, the guy cannot help himself. He gets challenged. And by the way, there's the weakest part of... There is the weakest part of Trump, in my opinion. It isn't the fact that he thinks these crazy thoughts.
Uh-huh.
The weakest part of Trump is that he gets challenged all the time, okay?
Yeah.
And people bait him. I'll tell you who baits him is Joe Scarborough from the the MSNBC show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Scarborough mm-hmm. gets on his and Trump obviously watches Scarborough's show every day, and it makes him crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so Trump is finally, he was finally being quiet over the weekend. You know what I mean? He wasn't even doing his own tweeting. I think someone else was. Because if you look at his tweets, all right, like here's his from Friday. He's like, we are one nation. When one hurts, we all hurt. We must all work together to lift each other up. All right. That was not him making that tweet.
No.
Then it was like Franklin Graham and he has all these people, these tweets. And he goes, so humbled by my time with you. You are in our thoughts and prayers. And it shows it is a picture of him walking with. These people in Louisiana, you know. And then there's another thing with where he's somehow retweeting Jerry Falwell or something. And then he's promoting an appearance on the Judge Jeanine show. And then he's got a thing with him in Virginia. It says, we'll be back soon, Virginia. We are going to make America great again. So he's got all these tweets that are just, you know, they're just pandering tweets, all right?
Right.
And then it's like you could tell he takes – so last at some point last night, he took back his Twitter.
And is that when he attacked because Obama was go down?
He say, I've been drawing very big enthusiastic crowds, but the media refuses to show or discuss them. Something very big is happening. You know, like he starts on his – it's all the media's fault bullshit.
Yeah.
Then like obviously he's sitting up watching TV and he sees an ad from Hillary Clinton. And he, God forbid, he not respond to it, but he goes, crooked Hillary's flooding the airwaves with false and misleading ads, all paid for by her bosses on Wall Street. And the media is protecting her. It's like, oh my, shut up. And then he's, let's see. Then he's retweeting people that are saying there's going to be a Trump victory in November. And then here's a tweet that he put 14 hours ago. It says, I heard Morning Joe was very nice on Friday, but that little Donnie D is a big failure in TV. Someone I helped was nasty, and he's irrelevant. It's like, well, you helped him. Why is he a failure? You helped him. He's like all those people that, what, do you go to Trump University? Is that how you helped him? And then today, I guess something happened today where on Morning Joe they said something because... Here's what Trump was saying while watching their show. Tried watching low-rated Morning Joe this morning. Unwatchable. Morning Mika, that's his host, is off the wall, a neurotic, and not very bright. And she's a mess. And then he goes, and then for some reason, while watching it, he goes, someday when things calm down, I'll tell the real story of Joe and his very insecure longtime girlfriend, Mika. Two clowns.
Oh, no.
So he's, I mean, that's the biggest thing that scares me about the guy is he can't watch television without picking a fight with anyone who says anything about him.
Right.
And he just has to make shit up. You know, sometime I'll tell the real story. What real story do you know, Joe or Trump, that anyone, right. anyone cares? Do you care about Morning Joe?
No, I don't.
Does it somehow impress you that the man running for president is attacking some, and no offense to Joe Scarborough, but that he's attacking some kind of second-rate cable TV host?
No.
Doesn't that put security?
Don't care.
Doesn't that put a calmness in your heart to know that the man who could be president is so easily offended by a morning cable show you've never watched? That scares the hell out of me. It scares the hell out of me. Because this guy can't even watch a woman named Mika and get upset, you know, and not get upset and start arguing with them. Could you imagine if Obama did that? Starts arguing with anybody who says anything bad about him?
Right.
Jesus, we'd have never gotten anything done. And that's how he reacts to a second-rate cable TV host. What the hell's going to happen when Kim Jong-un says something bad about him or...
And nuke him.
Or Putin. Although I don't think they'll be saying anything bad about him, but you never know. Yeah, because I don't know what they got going on. Or China and all this stuff, you know. Or our friends. Like, he said worse things about our NATO allies when he said he was gonna somehow stop NATO or you know, pull us out of NATO and all these other threats he's making. So, I mean, I just don't, he was fine. He was the guy who shut up. He'd shut up for a couple days. In fact, the LA Times did a poll this weekend. All right. That showed he was going back up. You know?
Yeah.
Guy can't help himself. It's like, man, you're shutting up and people are actually listening. And then you couldn't help yourself and you start, you know, and now you start talking again. Ugh. That's why I think the guy's going to lose. He can't shut up.
No more.
Really can't. Let's see what else happened that I wanted to discuss today. Oh, I see that the movie Suicide Squad, you know, that the critics were so, they were so upset. Oh, I'm so upset it's not good, you know. Although half of them wrote the reviews of the damn thing before it even came out. It's like you wanted it to be bad.
Yeah, Ron.
You wanted
to get a hold of it.
Because for whatever reason, those types of movies, they don't like comic book movies, you know.
Right.
And they attack it. This movie's a mess. It's horrible. Blah, blah, blah. It's another letdown from DC Comics movies and all this other bullshit. Well, I see the critics are once again wrong. Because for the third week in a row, that movie was number one. I find myself rooting harder for movies that they viciously attack. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they really, you know, they really do. They attack the DC Comics movies, that's obvious. But they attack Ghostbusters. And by the way, Ghostbusters wasn't a great film. And
it was the kind of film that was supposed to be.
And Suicide Squad wasn't a great... It's not going to win an Academy Award or anything, but... You know. But it's still...
It's a fun film.
It's still... It's entertainment.
And did you see where Jared Leto's all mad?
I don't know. Who knows?
Because a lot of his parts were cut out.
Oh, yeah, I did hear they cut parts out. But, you know, also I've just heard that second and third hand. I've never seen an interview with Jared Leto where he says it, you know.
I read it.
Yeah. But all those stories are like, allegedly Jared Leto told this one person this, blah, blah, blah. And I can't believe, I just can't believe allegedly so-and-so said that. Let me see video of him saying it, or let me read an article where they quote him directly instead of through friends. Like, Jared Leto was telling friends that blah, blah, blah. It's like, that. I'm sorry, that's not an attributable source. Telling friends. That's like that's like Donald Trump's, you know, most people say, or some people say. It's like, well, just who? Can you name one person? But, I mean, he might be. I understand they cut out a lot of good parts.
Yeah.
But then again, I didn't see it. I don't know. I mean, what the hell do I know about the movie? All I know is I saw it. I thought it was a solid B, you know. It's not an A-plus movie. I thought it was a solid B, maybe B-plus. I enjoyed it. I'd go see it again, you know. I'm going to buy it when it comes out on Blu-ray. But, you know, is it going to win the Academy Award? Well, no. But these critics, man, they, for the critics, it's like they have to, not only do they say, I don't like it, but they say, and you're an idiot if you like it too. And that's what gets me, who the hell are you? And most of them, you know, what's your ability to critique? You watch a movie and give your opinion about it? And that's fine, by the way. You can watch, anybody can watch a movie and give your opinion about it. The problem is, they watch a movie, give their opinion, and they have to judge everyone else. Mm-hmm. That's what pisses me off.
Yeah.
Movies are art. And no one is allowed to tell me how I should, you know, that I'm stupid for liking a piece of art.
Right.
That's what I don't like, is when people say, you know, that there's something wrong with the viewers of this art. This is not how it's supposed to work. It's just not supposed to work that way. It should be, hey, this isn't my cup of tea. I didn't like it. For me, it didn't work. For you, it might work. And that used to be what critics were. Like, when Star Wars came out in 1976, and it was universally panned by critics, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, like Roger Ebert and people like that, said, this movie just wasn't my cup of tea. I didn't get it. But I could see that it's going to be fun for some of you people, so enjoy it. If it's your kind of movie, you'll enjoy it. Now, by the way, when the movie ended up being the greatest film of all time and the biggest money-making movie of all time, you notice a lot of those critics shut up, you know.
Yeah.
And you don't see anyone admitting they gave bad reviews. Like, you don't see that asshole Rex Reed going, oh, I was completely wrong about this movie, you know. they don't say that. They just sort of sweep it under the rug. But that was back in the day when newspapers had people who were critics. Nowadays, it's anybody, any asshole who sets up a blog can somehow take 5 seconds to tell you you're an idiot for liking a movie. You know.
Yeah.
I'm saying that you, anybody out there personally, you can say what you can review a movie. I don't think you need to go to film school to review movies. But I'm saying that I think you need to have some type of, there has to be something before someone gets called, you know, a professional critic. For starters, to be a professional in anything, someone has to pay you to do it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Someone has to actually be paying you to be a professional in something. And these people who just set up a WordPress blog and are out there talking about, you're not a professional. Stop acting like you are. You know, you're not professional at it. When you're so good that someone wants to pay you to do it, then you're professional. But I'll tell you, one of the ways to not be a professional is to tell other people how they're supposed to think. Being a critic is just telling people how you think, and that's fine.
It's supposed to be their opinion, and then you base it on their opinion.
You can go out there and say, this movie sucks. And by the way, stick with it. Don't get out there and say, this movie sucks, and then as soon as you read somebody else's review, go, oh, well, I take it back. I mean, this movie's brilliant. No. Be honest. And it's okay. If you don't like a movie and somebody else does, that's fine. But the problem is you have too many people out there that they're rooting for these movies like the sports teams again, just like politics. We live in this time where your opinion isn't enough. You have to. Everyone else has to share your opinion or else you whine and cry like bitches. You know? That's Facebook. You know, you put your stuff out about I hate Hillary Clinton and blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's you. Who cares? And somebody else goes, well, you know what? I don't. And then all of a sudden, a fight happens. Why can't it just be, I disagree with you, and we go about our.
Can't we agree to disagree?
We just go about our business.
Don't do that anymore.
We just go about our business. No, it's important. It's so important for people to be right all the time. Oh, I've got to be right. If I'm not right, I'm nothing. That's bullshit. I'd be willing to, if you go back and listen to this show, I imagine I am incorrect at least 40% of the time. Own it. Laugh about it. Big deal. I'm incorrect. So what? People are so afraid to be incorrect.
I'm never wrong.
Yeah, but it's like every time somebody wants to say something that's stupid, there's always someone, and people take advantage of it. You know, you've got these clickbait stories on the internet. Like you could say, Hillary Clinton murdered people. Okay, she didn't murder anyone. No, Hillary Clinton's never murdered anyone. Unless we have the worst police detectives in all of history. Because if someone is high is of a high of nature or highest standing as Hillary Clinton, who has been the First Lady of Arkansas, First Lady of the United States, a United States Senator, the Secretary of State. I mean, those are some amazing qualifications. And you're out there thinking she's murdering people without taking a second to think of just how ridiculous that is, okay? But
right.
But now you can go to made-up websites and find five or six stories that back up your claim.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're putting it out like you've somehow investigated it. When you haven't investigated shit, you went to a website that's made up to make you look like a jackass, and you shared it on Facebook.
I saw it on the internet. Yeah. It must be true.
That's not investigation. That's embarrassment. Get it correct, you know. So people, so they somehow feel, they somehow feel entitled to their opinion, you know. And even if you do feel that way, fine. You know, if you want to be a jackass, go right ahead and be a jackass. But don't get mad at me when you say, it was proven for a fact and blah, blah, blah. And I just happen to say, actually, that's wrong. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Who the fuck are you to tell me what's right and what isn't? I go, I read. Well, I read too. And I read on this conservativesrule.net website that it said blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, well, I read on the Associated Press. You know what I mean? Here's your proof. An actual journalistic publication. Not the conservative Flag Union or whatever the hell webpage they go to, where the news is just made up. Like this, somebody shared something on Facebook the other day, and the article was like from some conservative rag website, and it was like, and the headline was something like, and forgive me, I'm paraphrasing, but it was something like, blacks have a what is it? It was basically saying, blacks have a predisposition to be lazy or something was the article. I'm like, this is racist and, inaccurate, offensive to human beings. And the science, and it talked about their DNA is ingrained with laziness and it's not their fault. They have to fight this laziness gene. And it's like, oh my God, what a horribly racist story. But it was on one of those, you know, those pro-Donald Trump websites, and people share it, you know, and they believe it's true. Now, what do I know? I had a rough weekend. What the hell?
Yeah, you know.
Let's see what else is going on in the world.
The Olympics is over.
Yeah, but did you like them?
Yeah.
I enjoyed them.
I watched them, I did.
Yeah, I enjoyed the Olympics. I really did. I mean, my favorite thing, I think, as you know, the last 3-4 Olympics, I love the swimming, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I liked watching the running.
I love, and you know what? I mean, the older I get, the more I enjoy the women's gymnastics.
I didn't get to watch to that.
God, they're so athletic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're so freaking athletic. I just love watching them, you know. I don't know what I'm looking at, you know, because you know what I mean? Because the whole thing is judges judge them.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, I don't know good judging from bad judging, but I do know that, you know, I enjoy watching who looks, you know, the athleticism, and I can kind of tell, like, who stumbles and who does it a certain way, and I seem to be pretty good at this. I mean, like, I'll look at somebody without knowing what I'm judging, and the ones I think look good, for the most part, they get high judge scores, you know.
Yeah.
The one that gets me is the diving. I don't know, I understand going into the water straight, you know what I mean? But it all looks
a little flash.
Yeah, but all the rest looks the same to me, you know. But I do, I like that, and I like, you know what I got into this year?
What?
Volleyball.
The beach volleyball?
Yeah.
Yep.
I really do, and I know I talked about their bottoms and stuff, and yeah, that was part of it, but, and I did like looking at their butts, because they're so in such great shape.
Mm-hmm.
My God. And I do. I think I'm a pervert. I just love women's butts. They're so attractive to me, you know. Like, I just can't stand it. I really do. I just love, you know, just love the way they look. So that's part of it, you know. But after about 2 minutes, it becomes about the athleticism and the,
yeah,
you know. And they just—they're. I mean, it's so competitive and so good. I just loved it.
Oh yeah.
But I admit I have to get past the butt thing, because, you know, I should just be enjoying them for the, you know.
Athleticism.
Yeah, I really should be. I get mad at myself. It's like, oh God, you freaking pervert! Will you please get over the butt thing? It's just—they look so good, you know. And some of them have real butter faces, but.
No, they. Oh.
Yeah, but they look so good, man. It's just, oh. Oh, just, I can't even tell you the dirty feelings I have, Nikki, when I look at that. You know. Can't even tell you. Oh, well. That's what I go through. But I like that. But even, you know what else I liked was the, was just the volleyball on the gym floor, you know what I mean? Like the men, the United States men versus the Italian men.
Mm-hmm.
I watched that. Oh my God, that was so good. It was, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed the volleyball this time around. I mean, I'm to the point to where, you know, I might go watch some high school volleyball or something, because they have it, you know.
I loved playing volleyball, though.
Yeah, my daughter's got friends at play. And I have girls that I used to coach in softball that play and stuff. And I tell myself, I should go watch a game, but I'll be bored, blah, blah, blah. I know I won't be bored. Because after watching the Olympics, I want to, you know what I mean? It's so exciting. Mm-hmm. Like, these people will try to slam the balls, you know?
Yeah.
And they somehow, they hit them back. I mean, it's so amazing. When they get a good rally going back and forth, it's unbelievable. And the way that these girls or guys both, they find a way to set the, I don't even know how they do it. They somehow set the ball to where it goes right in front of the net, where people can jump up and smack it. That's so impressive and so athletic. I just, you know, love it. So I don't know. Maybe I'll go check out some high school volleyball this year.
There you go.
I really enjoyed it. And this year was cool because, you know, what's his name? Ryan Held. You know?
Yeah.
Ryan Held won an Olympic gold. He's from Springfield. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know. I'll tell you, the other thing I liked high jump. And I liked the pole vault. I do like the pole vault. They never show enough of that pole vault, you know. And the decathlon. They never show the decathlon. They always show, like, highlights of it. It's like a decathlon. Yeah. The decathlon takes 2 days to do. It's 2 days and several hours. But they put the whole thing together in like a 2-minute package. You know, it's like, what? Where's the fun in watching that? Makes me crazy. You know, put it.
I enjoyed watching Usain Bolt win, even though he's not ours. But he's fast.
Yeah, Usain
Bolt. On the track.
Yeah, he's superhuman.
Yes, he is.
But that's why he's fun to watch, because he's superhuman. And the other thing that, that I really like is the United States 4x100. The United States 4x100 relay, the men's relay.
Oh.
About how the last, like, what, four Olympics, whatever it is, they mm-hmm. always find a way to get disqualified. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
It's the craziest. I mean, it's insane. They drop the baton or they get disqualified. See, this year they actually were going to get a medal.
Yeah, there's
and then they got disqualified.
Silver.
They got disqualified. It was crazy. So again, they got disqualified again. I don't know how many Olympics in a row this is. Whenever it looks like they're finally going to not get disqualified, they end up getting disqualified. And then you got, what else was really cool?
Our women got...
Yeah, the women were dominant.
All three for the, I don't remember, the 200?
4x100, 4x400.
I don't remember.
And then that Allison Phoenix. Every time I see an interview with that Allison Phoenix, she's so likable. I'll tell you who took a beating this year. Is that what's her name? Gabby Douglas. Oh my God, she took a beating.
Oh really?
Yeah, but it was stupid reasons too. Like they were playing the national anthem, and she didn't put her
hand up.
She didn't put her hand over her heart.
She's probably just in the moment and excited and overwhelmed.
And then they took a picture of her, and she wasn't smiling. But she took a beating. I mean, her reputation got hit.
Mm.
Which was, I just don't get it. It's like, do you put your hand over your heart during the national anthem?
Yes.
I don't. I put my hand behind my back usually. And I keep them there. You know, like I'll take my hat off. But the national anthem's playing. I don't put my hand over my heart. I put my hands behind my back. I'm just more comfortable that way. And by the way, there's no law. This isn't communist China.
I'm just conditioned from high school.
A dictatorship. In fact, this is something, oh my God, this is going to shock people. Do you know there's no law that says you have to stand up during the national anthem? I'm horrified to hear this. There isn't. There's no law. In fact, you don't even have to listen to it. You could talk during it if you want. People were so upset. They're like, that whore Gabby Douglas.
Not when we were going to school.
She didn't put her hand over her heart. It's like, and? You don't have to put your hand over it. It's so ridiculous. What do you care what she does? When they were saying horrible, like on Twitter, you know, people calling her the N-word because she didn't put her hand. Oh, that's a great way to show how great we are in America.
Right.
They're so, you know, they're so patriotic that they're calling people the N-word for not putting their hand over their heart. It's like, come on. That's what's going on.
The last scandal.
Yeah, oh my God. And then Lotke, what an embarrassment.
What a bunch of...
we can't get through it. You never notice we can't get through the Olympics without something horribly embarrassing happening.
Right. Let's make up this big story before they even find out that we did something wrong.
How crazy. Yeah. Yep.
International incident.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, Lotke makes up and he's 32 years old. That's the thing that a lot of people...
I never did like him very much. He's always cocky.
Yeah, I like Phelps. Lockheed just looks like a guy. Lockheed looks like a guy who he still looks like a frat boy, you know.
Yeah, he's always been that.
When I heard he's older than Phelps. He's 30. When I heard he was 32, I was like, oh my god, he's still he still looks like he's like 19, you know.
Right.
He looks like a frat boy.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the villain in one of these Animal House type movies, you know. He's the cocky, arrogant white guy who bullies the geeks who are the actual heroes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like every villain in every teen movie. And sure enough, he does something like this, you know. Yeah, so that was embarrassing. How embarrassing. He could say goodbye to his, you know, to any endorsements he's got. And he's going to have to get...
He gets to say goodbye to his medal, too.
Well, I'll tell you this. No, I guess he gets to keep that. You know, he earned it, but...
The Olympic is... The OIC is getting involved in
it. Are they going to make him give it back? That's horrible. If I was him, I would swim my ass off for the next 4 years. Because the only way he's going to get rid of this legacy... Mm-hmm. Is to somehow go back in 4 years and win a medal as a 36-year-old.
Yeah.
Because then his legacy would be, his legacy would be the guy learned his lesson and he worked hard and he came back and won a medal at an astonishing age, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Ben says, did you know before the hand over the heart, the original hand sign for the national anthem was the arm straight out towards the flag, but the hand was at 90-degree angle with palm towards the flag?
Yes.
That's what the Nazis did, isn't it?
Yes.
I don't care if you're holding your ball.
That's the true story.
I don't care if you're holding your balls during the national anthem. It's, you know, it's America. You know, it's America. We have the right to do whatever you want. Now you also have the right to suffer the consequences of not doing it. But the people that act like, you know, the people that act like someone should be arrested for bullshit like that is ridiculous. Hey, Nikki, I guess yesterday was, and I wasn't on Facebook yesterday, you know. In fact, I didn't do much yesterday. You know, I was depressed because my grandmother and I just...
Yeah.
You know, I didn't even have my phone. I didn't have my Facebook or anything. I left everything in my bedroom charging, you know. But I guess yesterday was National Radio Day?
I thought it was, like, Saturday.
Maybe it was Saturday. I don't know. I wasn't... You know, Saturday was the same way. But all these people...
All of our radio friends just really took it seriously.
No offense, they can do what they want, but I got to tell you, highly annoying.
Yeah.
Highly annoying. Well, it is. It's like, oh, let me show you a list of all the places that fired me.
You know what I mean? I was thinking too.
It's like, oh, no, thank you. Like, I want to be part of that bullet. No. I have no desire. You know. To announce all my different radio failures. And by the way, who the hell am I to, you know what I mean? Who is anybody in radio to somehow, you know, screw it. National Radio Day. What a legacy.
Yeah. Like, thanks for all these things for giving me the opportunity.
Look at all my list of failures, everybody. Brent is telling me, he goes, think about it, Ray. Gabby Douglas was eviscerated for not smiling, and Michaela Maroney 4 years ago was celebrated for it. Yeah, he's right. Remember when she gave that, when she had that face look, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they made a meme out of it and turned her into a hero. Gabby Douglas doesn't smile. All of a sudden, everybody's pissed at her and saying horrible things about the girl. Somebody on Twitter called her a coon.
What?
They called her a coon for because of she didn't put her hand on her heart. And coon's racist, isn't that racist? That's a racist term, right? Isn't that racist? Call black people coons?
That is extremely racist.
Yeah, they were like, "Look at this coon." I'm like, "Are you kidding me? You're so angry, you're screaming racist things at this girl?" Yeah, it's horrible. I don't know what's worse, N-word or calling somebody a coon.
It's so bad.
And people are unbelievable. Over stupid bullshit. It's like, so what? She didn't put her hand on her heart. Get over it. Let's see. What the hell else is going on? You can tell I'm just sort of trying to catch up on stuff I haven't seen.
Yeah, I know.
I do have a bunch. I did get a bunch of messages of people. I got them. I just haven't sent them back yet. By the way, everybody was very nice on Facebook. I was reading them today. Oh my goodness! Excuse me. People were very nice in the emails and messages, and the stuff they sent me about my grandmother was very nice. And thank you. I just want to say thanks to everybody for that.
Aww.
It was very kind. My grandmother, she was a sweet lady. I mean, she really was. She was a sweet, sweet lady. And, you know, I mean, this is the amazing thing. I'm almost 50 years old, and I had a grandmother this long. I mean, it really is a treat to how fortunate I am. And I took a second to reflect on that, you know, because my wife's grandparents died when she was very young. You know, so she didn't really have grandparents until she married me, and then she had my grandparents, and unfortunately, they didn't. You know what I mean? My dad's mom and my mom's dad both passed away. You know, in the 90s, but my grandmother, she made it all the way till 2016. It's pretty impressive, you know.
Yeah.
What an amazing lady. She was sweet and funny, and oh my God, just loved her to death. So I want to thank everybody put such nice messages up. I mean, they really did. And I put that picture of me and my grandma dancing.
Mm-hmm. I love that picture.
And no one made fun of my glasses, which are horrible. The only person that made fun of my glasses is my daughter.
Oh, no.
Who said, "Oh, I love that picture of great grandma." I'm like, "Yeah." She goes, "Dad, where did you get those glasses?" Oh, yeah, I know. But yeah, a sweet, beautiful lady there. And thank you to everyone who put the nice replies. It was very nice of you. And I'm finally reading everything this morning, you know. Because I seriously, Nikki, I laid off of Facebook all day, all right, yesterday. Hey. I think, when did I finally get on it? I finally got on Facebook, I want to say last night before I fell asleep. I put up a thing that said, "Hey, just to remind everybody, we're going to school hours Monday," which means show won't start till 8:40. And I think that was... I think that was early this morning when I woke up.
Okay.
But my point is that, you know, I went all day yesterday without my phone, you know. And you know what?
It's probably kind of nice.
I didn't miss it. Yeah, I didn't miss it.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning, I went through and I saw a lot of, you know. Of course, I saw a lot of the, you know, horrible memes and Donald Trump stuff and all that. But yesterday I didn't have Yesterday, I did not have my phone, and I, you know, I did not miss it.
I think it was Friday. I got all upset and the Facebook completely off.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't get any notifications, nothing.
Yeah, that's what I got to do.
And I spent about 12 hours with it off, and it was nice.
Well, you know I'm not a huge fan of Facebook, you know what I mean?
Like, but I'm always on it.
I use Facebook for the show, but my favorite thing is Twitter. I love Twitter.
See, I'm not a
love it. Oh, my God. Except now they got this thing where you don't see all the tweets, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They limit them, and I don't like that. I liked when I saw every – like, I follow people because I want to read their tweets. Why would I follow someone if I don't want to read their freaking tweets?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll, on the phone, they'll show something, and then they'll go, also showing up, and then they'll show stuff from, like, 3 hours ago. It's like, I don't want to see shit from 3 hours ago. I want to see what's going on now. That's why I'm looking at it.
Right.
And, you know, it just, that makes me crazy. But I love Twitter. But the one thing I did was I had my text and email notifications on. So I was getting, mm-hmm. I was getting texts like every 2 minutes. And then I was like, oh God, I wonder who's texting me. Then I'd look at it and it was like, and it was like from Twitter telling me so-and-so liked your tweet or so-and-so retweeted you or so-and-so mentioned you in a tweet. And it's like, yeah, that's really not earth-breaking stuff. So I had to.
Oh my God. Last night.
Yeah.
I had sent a message to the engineer at like 10:40. And then I went to bed.
Wait,
I got woke up at 2 o'clock this morning with a reply, and the reply was a thumbs up.
What did you do?
I sent a message, like a goodnight message.
Mm-hmm.
Which didn't really need replied to.
Oh, to someone, and then they text you back at...
At 2 o'clock in the morning.
And it woke you up.
And all it was the thumbs up.
Oh, I hate that.
I'm like, thanks for waking me up.
It's like, why the hell did you send it back at 2:30 in the morning?
Right.
Yeah, I my cousin texted me on Saturday because he was at my grandmother's when I got there, and then I went into I went into the room to see my grandmother, and when I got out, he was gone. I'm like, where's Buddha? Where's Greg? And my wife's like, oh, he had to leave. The babysitter had to leave, so I had to take off and stuff. And I'm like, damn. I didn't get a chance to talk to him. So that night when we went home, I got a text from when I was driving.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, because I was driving, I didn't see my phone. You know, I saw, we pulled over so my wife could pee, which is, you know, boy, the women pee a lot on the drive. God damn it.
I mean,
they can't hold it.
Chicago.
I'm going to tell you what, Saturday I went to Chicago, right?
Yeah.
I took a piss in the morning when I woke up, you know, I showered. I think I peed in the shower, whatever it was, you know. And then we got to my grandmother's around 3 o'clock, okay? And after I said my goodbyes and everything, they were getting ready to pull the gurney in to, you know, to get her off the bed and all that stuff. And I went into her, you know, I was like, oh, I'm just going to go to the bathroom. My mom's like, you can't use that bathroom. I go, why not? Well, that's your grandma's bathroom. I go, Mom, she's not going to use it. I'm like, she's not using it. And my mom goes,
right.
Well, that's a handicap bathroom. I go, well, so what? I go, that's fine. There's more room for me. You know, and she was like somehow saying that I couldn't use that bathroom. I'm like, why? She goes, well, that's your grandma's the only one that uses that bathroom. I'm like, Mom, you know, she's not. It's okay.
Yeah.
So I go into the bathroom, and you know, I had to pee, but I sat down to pee, you know.
Uh huh.
So like the people are in there, you know, getting ready to remove my grandmother from the bed and stuff, and I guess the coroner people or the funeral home people didn't know I was in there, you know, and I guess some of the other family members, like my mom and my uncles and stuff sort of moved in there. And so I'm sitting down to pee, right?
Yeah.
And I'm squatting. Oh, so comfortable. Just get off my feet, you know. And after I pee, right, I didn't have to take a dump or anything, but I had gas, you know.
Oh, no.
And so I'm in there, and I'm just thinking it's me and my grandmother's body, you know, in that room. You know what I mean? I'm like, well, she's, you know, she can't hear it. You know what I mean? So I'm sitting on the toilet. I get done peeing, and I'm like, oh. And I feel this burst of pressure, and I go, oh, I'm just going to let it go. And so I'm like, and I thought it was just going to be a, you know. But, Nikki, I went to let this gas go, and it was like. I mean, it was impressive. And it was so.
Way.
It was so good. I was like. Oh, after I did. You know what I mean? Like, it was so good. I'm like, I'm the only one who's ever farted after going to pee, you know. But I was like, it was like. You know. And I get up, and then I turn on the sink, and I start washing my hands. So I wash my hands, flush the toilet first, and I wash my hands, and I walk out of the and I open up the bathroom door, right? And like I said, I thought it was just me and my grandmother. And I open up the door, and it's the people from the funeral home. It's the people from my funeral home, and like a couple family members had wandered in. And I walk out of the bathroom, and they looked at me like with the look of horror in their face.
Like, how could you do that?
And I just go, what? fully knowing what they were looking at, I was like, what?
Right.
You know, I'm like, what? And then I walked over and kissed my grandma's forehead again, pushed him out of the way, kissed my grandma's forehead, and then walked out. But, I mean, the look of horror on the people at the funeral home's faces. I don't know what they thought I was doing there, but I just want to say it was just gas, you know. My mother was horrified. How can you go
I'm
in there?
Sure. Oh, I'm sure.
I cannot believe you used your grandmother's bathroom. I'm like, Mom, it's not her. I said, if I'm not mistaken, as of this morning, it was no longer her bathroom.
Right.
Like, it's not like, you know, it's like, it's, anybody can use it now, you know.
Yeah.
And contrary to popular belief, I didn't take a dump. I just peed, but I had a lot of gas, you know. And I let it fly. You know. But people were, it must have been a really disgusting fart because, like I said, the people who worked at the funeral home were aghast. I mean, you know it's got to be a good fart when the people at the funeral home are, like, moved by it. You know? Oh, my God. It's like, you see dead bodies for a living, and I offended you? You know, I'm the thing that... It was my flatulence is what made you get horrified? Well, come on. I think we know what happens at the funeral home. You know. Oh, then there's
walk down and been like, she's my grandma. She knows I would have.
Mm-hmm. My grandmother would have laughed, by the way. It was so powerful. I'm surprised she didn't sit up and go, oh, that was a good one, you know. Like, my flatulence was so powerful I could wake up the dead. But that unfortunately was not the case, you know.
Right.
So then my wife and I were, like my grandmother said, she told my mom, she goes, Mija, I want to be cremated. You know, my mother spent a lot of time with her. My mother was living up there with her for the, you know, past few months, helping her out. And she told my wife and I how grandmother, you know, planned out what she wanted done when she died and stuff. And I told my wife said it too. She goes, I said, I don't even know what the hell I want to have happen when I die. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, this is a conversation I never want to have, you know. And then my wife surprisingly says, she goes, oh, God, me too. She goes, I don't even want to think about it.
I've already started.
My wife said, she goes, I don't want to think about it. I said, you, what in the hell was that? Oh, my God. And so my wife goes to me. She goes, oh, I don't even want to think about it. I said, you don't know if you want to be buried or cremated or... And I said, oh, they have this new thing where they're freeze-drying everyone.
Yeah, I saw that.
They freeze you, and then they hit it with, like, a little hammer or something, and you shatter.
Yeah.
Yep. And then they dry it, and it turns the dust and all this stuff. And my wife, she goes, oh, God, stop talking about it. She goes, stop talking about it. And so I go, what, don't you know? And she goes, I don't want it. She goes, I'm never going to discuss this. She goes, I am never going to discuss this. And I'm like, I have no idea what I want done. And she goes, I am not going to discuss this. I said, okay. So then I started thinking, like, I'm driving home, you know, it's silent.
Oh.
And I'm thinking to myself, I go, oh, my God. I hope I die first. Because I'm thinking, I'm like, if she dies,
you're at the law.
I'm going to have to be the one to decide. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm like, oh, God, I don't want to have to decide. And I know she doesn't want to have to decide. But I'm so selfish.
I've already had those plans.
I'm so selfish when I'm driving. I'm like, oh, God, if I die first. Which, I mean, let's face it. You've seen me, my wife.
Uh-huh.
It's highly likely that I'm going to be the one that goes first. I mean, wouldn't you say? I think it would be astronomical if my wife somehow goes first. It'll take a horrible accident for her to go first. But I know she's so adamant about deciding what to do. I'm like, you're going to have to decide what to do with me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she'll probably let my daughter decide. My daughter's probably got it all planned out, you know? She's like, we're going to sell its carcass to the zoo so they can feed it to polar bears and we'll make money or whatever. She's got some plan, I'm sure. But yeah, my wife has no idea. So I don't know. God forbid, I don't know what I'd do. I have no idea. What are you going to do with your body when you go?
Huh?
What are you going to do with your body when you go? You said you got
it
planned out.
I haven't gotten to that part.
Oh. I thought you said you have it all planned. What do you have planned out?
The whole dying process that I've gotten figured out.
Oh, you figured out how you're going to die?
Well, I mean, like if I'm in the hospital and I want to come home to hospice and...
Right.
That kind of thing.
Oh, you don't want to die in the hospital?
No.
Yeah, my grandmother died at her house. You know, she didn't want to go. She didn't want to die in the
hospital. I want hospice. I don't want family or anybody taking care of me.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom is the one who took care of my grandma. I think she's affected by it.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, it's rough. It's rough, you know. Yeah, I have no idea. I have never thought about it. I've just never thought about it. And I keep putting it off. I probably at some point should stop, you know.
Yeah.
God knows I weigh 1,000 pounds and I'm almost 50. Ugh, it's going to happen one of these days, so. I guess it's all something we should think about, but I wish I had 30 more years to think about it. Oh, well.
I don't.
Yeah. So everyone, you heard it. If Nikki somehow goes into a coma, she doesn't want to die at the hospital. So me,
if I go into a coma, that's a different thing, and it's already taken care of.
Me and Brent and Fat 420 guy and Corey and P-Double, we'll break into the hospital. We'll swipe your body and bring you home to die. I make that vow to you now.
Already got papers signed as to what happens.
I can't promise that we won't go through your panty drawer, your dildo drawer, but we'll make sure we get you home. Yeah, I don't even think about it. I don't even know. You don't want to be cremated or anything like that? What do you, you know?
I haven't decided.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd rather just not, you know. Just throw me in somebody's yard. Just make sure it's not where there's coyotes or bears. You know, I'd rather not be eaten to death.
Oh, not a
Your phone's cutting out again.
I always thought I was very, like,
you would what?
Generations.
You thought you would what?
What?
You thought you would what?
I thought I would what?
You, I could, you, I, you cut out, and I was repeating what you said.
I would be buried where my family has been buried for generations and generations.
Is that the Confederate cemetery? Was your family...
Wrong side.
Did your family fight for the Confederacy, or...
Some did.
Or for the, some, or for the North?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know. There's some change coming. Yeah.
What do I know? God. So you had Confederacy members in your family?
Yep.
Oh, how shameful. How shameful.
Yep.
By the way, my wife, my daughter was doing a project, so we got a temporary... ancestor.com thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we were tracing the families, you know?
Yeah.
Now, my family is, on my father's side, the Lytles were originally from Scotland and moved to Amsterdam or somewhere. So, or no, they were, and then my group of Lytles were, you know, were went from Amsterdam, you know, and came to the United States very early on. I mean, there have been Lytles here since like 1700s, you know, early 1700s. And, but my mom's side, the Padrones, you know, my mom's a first generation American, you know.
Right.
Because my grandparents and their families came from Mexico, you know. And my grandmother, like, my grandmother's grandfather might have been Spanish. My great 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 grandmother was a maid who worked for Spanish royalty, and somehow the maid got knocked up. It's a crazy story.
Yeah,
and the maid got knocked up, and they think it was from, you know, the gentleman of the house or whatever. And then the baby was put up for adoption. And that was my great-great-grandmother. My grandmother's mother. So, I mean, we're a good-looking family. And I think it's got something to do with the mixes of everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because my dad's a decent-looking guy, you know. But he looks like, I don't know. My dad's a good-looking guy. He's, as you can tell if you've looked at me, but he's very white and he's not pale, you know what I mean?
All right.
He's not pale, but he's very, you know, he looks like he's from Europe, you know?
Right.
And my mom, you know, my mother's beautiful. But it's because, because my grandmother was beautiful.
Well,
as we found out, she's Mexican, but also probably Spanish, you know, in there as well. And my grandfather was, you know, 100%, you know, Aztec or Mayan, one of them, you know what I mean, whatever he was. But he was a good-looking guy. My grandfather looked just like Ricky Ricardo, you know. So seriously, when my parents got together, so my mom has good-looking, and most of my uncles are good-looking, and, you know, my aunt was pretty and everything. But, except for one, like my one uncle, Ponch, is, you know, they were just teasing it. I mean, he just looks older than what he is. You know, he's always looked a little old, you know. But he acts older than he is, too. He's always, as long as I've known my Uncle Ponch, he's always acted like he's 60-something, you know. Even when he was, like, in his 20s, he acted like he's in his 60s. I'll take it back. It must have been his 30s, because I don't think I knew him when he was in his 20s, but I'm too young. But, he's always acted like he's in his 60s, you know, although he wasn't. Just sort of a curmudgeon type, you know,
bright,
really bright guy, but, you know, but just, acts older than what he's always been. But everybody's, and looks older too. But a good looking family. And then my dad, like I said, my dad was attractive. My mom was attractive, which explains why, you know, if I wasn't so damn fat, I'd be a good looking guy. My sister.
You're a good looking guy anyway.
Yeah, I know. But imagine if I wasn't so fat. My sister's really pretty, you know. My brothers are all, well, I don't know about Bodine. He was, I mean, who knows what kind of anomaly he is, but. No, but I mean, I come from a decent looking family. They're short. I'm the tallest one, by the way.
Right.
I mean, in my whole family, I'm the tallest. That I noticed it again this weekend. I'm like, I'm the tallest person in this family. And and by the way, I think at one point I was 5'11". I'm telling you, Nikki, I'm convinced. I'm 5'10 now. I have lost an inch of height.
Could be.
I think I'm losing more. I'm probably 5'9". I got to measure myself. But I'm still the tallest person in my family, you know. And so we're short, but, you know, decent-looking family. And like I said, my grandma was really good-looking, so, you know. Could have been worse, I guess. We could have been ugly family.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. For me, it'd be the only way it could be worse, you know. I mean, I wish I was really good looking, you know. Wish I was really good looking, really endowed, in good shape, all those things. But you know,
don't we all
take what you could get, I suppose.
Yeah.
And when but it doesn't matter when you die, you know. Hell, just throw me in the bushes for all I care.
Oh, well. Yeah. You see what time it is?
Yeah, it's about time for us to wrap up. We've been going for...
Yeah.
How long have we been going for? I think we're at an hour 47. We're supposed to end 15 minutes ago. All right, yep. We should wrap it up then. Thank you for listening, everybody. Nikki has an appointment. You don't have to go to that special doctor that Marvin was always concerned about, do you?
No.
Okay, good. Make sure none of that's good.
Your TV doctor.
Okay. Well, good luck. Listen, it's just a rough week for me.
Don't get
put in the hospital or anything, because I don't want to be doing this show by myself.
All right. Why not?
All right. Anyway, all right. That wraps it up for today. I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you for listening, and return with us tomorrow at 8:30 for more big fun on the Morning Disaster. Good job as always, Nikki.
Thank you.
I'm sorry you were receiving texts at 2:00 in the morning.
Set my schedule off.
And thanks everybody for listening. Remember, Mondays we do start a little bit later. So thank you for understanding that. And now we will end the show. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends about the Morning Disaster, morningdisaster.net. Of course, you listen live on TuneIn Radio or get the podcast from so many different sources. We appreciate you all for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Goodbye.